Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now, with over a million downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Well, hey, friends, welcome to another edition of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. I'm Matt Tommy, your host, and really excited to have some new friends here with me today, Guy and Haiti Mitchell from South Africa. Guys, welcome to the podcast. So glad you're here.
Thank you. Nice to be with you, Matt.
Yeah. Thank
awesome. You. Awesome. I always love to be able to share the stories of what's going on all over the world, because when God called me in 2009 to raise up an army of artists to reveal His glory in the earth, I'm like, this is not just a U.S. thing. This is a global thing, right? And so God's doing so many incredible things. You know, for those artists who are listening to the podcast today or watching on YouTube, maybe they've not heard of what you guys are doing right now. So give us the little version of what you're doing, and then we'll kind of jump into a little bit of your backstory as we talk to you today.
Well, did you want to pull them in on just the basic journey?
Yeah. So Guy and I have been married for just on 18 years, and 2 years into our marriage, God called us to lay everything down and wait on Him for something new. So at that time, I was a full-time music teacher and Guy was a graphic artist, graphic design. He studied art after school, but you know, as many people, his family was saying, there's no ways you can make a living out of art. And he chose the safe option, which was graphic design. And so when I met him, he'd been in graphic design for 10 years and had his own business. And as we were waiting on God, we felt Him saying, you need to lay everything down, wait on me. And it was such a drastic and dramatic instruction. It took us a while to be obedient. It took us about 6 months. And in that time, Guy let go of all his clients. He started phoning them and saying, I'm sorry, I'm not in business. I resigned from my position at school. I taught choir, taught piano. I was in music. I'd been a music teacher for many years.
Yeah.
And we wait. And in this waiting time, Guy picked up a paintbrush for the first time in 10 years. And God began to speak to him through the book of Revelation. And the first painting he did was of Revelation 19, where Jesus returns on a white horse with the saints. And he painted quite a small painting, because Guy actually works very big, but it was quite a small, just a little painting of Jesus, quite a little bit of an abstract on the white horse and the robe dripping with the blood. And during this time, we were in our home in Fishhook in Cape Town. I was waiting also on God, because what new for me? I mean, I've been playing piano since I was 6 years old, but what's this new thing? And I could play my Chopin, I could play my Mozart, but what was this that Father was asking of me? I didn't understand it. I didn't know. And one day Guy put the painting on top of the piano and I closed the door and I just said, Father, what do you require of me here?
Mm.
And he said, and as I was praying, I was actually weeping, because I knew He wanted me to access something that I'd never accessed before. And I began to hear this very intense horse music, as best way I can describe it. I heard the hooves and I heard this intensity. I said, okay, I got excited. I said, Lord, I hear this. What now? He says, put your hands on the keyboard. Now, up to then, on piano keyboard, up to then, I had never composed anything in my life. I had only played from sheet music.
Yeah.
I couldn't, if you took the book away, I was lost. So I put my hands on the keyboard, and the best way I can describe it is it was like jumping off a cliff. It took that level of courage, and as I did, this music just flowed, and I played this piece of music that just spoke what was happening in this image, and I ran outside and fetched Guy, and I was hoping that it would remain, because I'd never done it before.
Right.
With this,
can I remember what I just did, right?
But you know, it was like a download when you download something off the computer, it felt like that. It In the same space where I discern the Father's voice, where the prophetic word comes, in that space is where the music landed. And it remained, and I could play for Guy. And so as each new painting that he did, the Holy Spirit would be so specific. He would wait for me. He would wait for Guy to finish, and then he would start giving me the key, giving me the detail, because he was so specific about the color and the tone matching what was going on in the music.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing it on a cerebral level. It was purely by the spirit. Mm. And by the time I had done 12 paintings, we realized, here's the new wineskin.
Wow.
And he had begun to pour out the new wine. And so we began to minister. And during that time, we had lost almost everything we possessed. We willingly had this let go of our home and our belongings. Basically had what was left in our car. And Father said, you ask nobody, you tell nobody. I need to teach you my pulse of provision. Mm. So there was this incredibly intense and exciting time of a ministry being born in the midst of circumstance where we were being stripped of everything in the natural. And as Father does, the true things of the spirit are born out of complete rawness. And that's how it began. And that was now 16 years ago.
Wow. What an incredible story. You know, I've heard so many stories over the years interviewing people on the podcast, and I even see this in my own life. We went through a transitional time these last couple of years of closing down a very successful art gallery and studio that I had in Asheville, North Carolina, moving to Texas and focusing more on, you know, mentoring and writing and all of that. And I hear this all the time from people. I'd love for you to dig a little deeper, you know, in this. Why is it, do you think, that the Lord chooses these times when we are running at full capacity, when we're loving life, enjoying what we're doing? You're working at a graphic design job. You're teaching music. You're like, this is it. Bills are paid. Life is good. We got a house. Everything's going great. And then the Lord's like, awesome. So let's shut all that down. And and you're like, what? Like, I thought this was what I was going for. Like, so talk a little bit about that process, because I think it's easy to use for people to think, oh, they're just talking about metaphorical language, you know, like, oh, just lay everything down, like in the spirit. No, you're talking about like, quit your job, quit what you're doing. Like, talk about the details of that, because that is you said it took 6 months. For me, it took us 2 years to make this transition that the Lord showed us. That's not an easy time to walk through, is it?
I think it's an important point, because when I look at the different ministries that inspire me, all kinds of ministries, I don't know why God takes people through a testing, but I almost haven't seen a ministry that hasn't really been put through the fire to test something. God's looking for faith. He's looking for character. Right. I don't know. We're going to have this discussion one day in heaven. I'm going to say, why, Lord? Why did we have to go
through that? What was up with that, right?
Yes. Because it was truly a stripping time. As Haiti said, like, on giving up everything, we just kind of thought the heavens would just open, and like, cause we're being obedient, but literally God like stripped us. I mean, it was a high cost. And, you know, we did, at that point, the two eldest daughters were going off to university and that, but, we still had the youngest one in school with us. And you know, like, we were tested on different levels. Like, Haiti was like, you know, is this going to scar my child? Literally not having food for the supper or whatever. And then God would miraculously provide. We never saw any shortage, but we were definitely pushed right to the edge where electricity would totally run out. And, you know, God would say, go back to the cupboard and look again. And there would be, you know, something in the, you know, he really took us right down to.
Wow.
And, so it was, yeah, I'd love to have that conversation. I don't have the answer to the questions, but
I think what Guy said there about character, I feel when it's a ministry that God feels strongly about, he needs to know that you will have the character to steward it.
Yeah.
Because if there's not a character to match, how can he trust you?
Yeah.
So you need to know that he will be there for you when you have been stripped to the bare minimum. You need to know him. Know his character, know who he is as provider, as creator, as inspiration. And if you know him and trust him in that circumstance, you will trust him in everything. And he needs to know that you're not going to give up on the ministry he's calling you to just because things are difficult. He needs to know that you can still steward that ministry even if you have nothing.
Yeah.
Is it as important to you as it is to him?
Yeah, I think we always want to talk about, you know, God is aligning us for the assignment and, you know, all that and divine appointments and all this, but he's also refining us, right, for the assignment as well, getting us to the place where we can receive and walk in the things that he has for us. And so I love that that's core. In fact, I'm remembering something somebody told me years ago. They said, your talent will take you where your character can't keep you. And it's just, again, that tension of like, how do I walk in the gifts and callings of what God's given me? And at the same time, go through the refining fire to be able to be tested and tried and to be found, you know, faithful in the middle of that. So, you know, you guys, as you're talking about this beautiful sort of prophetic dynamic, you know, spontaneous, creative dynamic that you begin to experience and now you're walking as in kind of as your normal, I'd love to get your thoughts on the practicality of that, because there's a kind of two schools of thought, you know, in the art world, right? There's this idea that it's all about skill and it's all about, you know, honing your craft and all that sort of thing. Then there's this other side of the world that can be, you know, on the prophetic art side, a lot of people are of this belief that, oh, all you got to do is be willing and available and God's just going to give download everything to you. And it's just a spontaneous movement. I'm in the middle. I think I believe that as we, you know, develop our skills and the things that God gives us, as we're like Bezalel, both filled and skilled, you know, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, but also enlarging our capacity through our skills to allow God to move in and through those things. That's how we start to see momentum. And I'm interested, you know, like Heidi, for you as somebody that played piano since you were six, like I started playing piano when I was five. So I definitely relate to what you're talking about. You have this, you know, way of doing things. And for you, Guy, I don't know if you took painting lessons or things like that, but how are you guys balancing this idea of movement of the Spirit and at the same time intentionally honing your craft and what it is that God's called you to do technically to be able to function in that.
Yeah, well, you give it a go.
Yeah, if I look at my own journey, I mean, I it was until that moment that I described earlier where I sat at the piano and I said, yeah. Well, what is the that you require of me? That I had enough skill in my hands to play a Chopin etude and a Mozart sonata, but the Spirit and the skill in the Spirit to allow him to use that foundation to bring to his glory that had not come. And that came, I mean, I was 35 when that happened. So it took all of those years for me to build the foundation. And I always said that the foundation was there. I didn't have to think twice about the shapes and the accuracy. And it was all there. Yes. I practiced for hours every day. He could just let it flow. And it was so liberating. And when that breakthrough comes, it is truly liberating, because I don't think I've played from sheet music since. I just can't go back to it. It just feels like the old. And you know, he's used me on train platforms. I think of a time at St. Pancras Station in London. There's a piano that was donated by Elton John, beautiful upright piano. And I felt the Spirit prompt me. He said, go and play. So I begin to play. And always when I play, I listen. And I feel a bit like when, you know, when Jesus was in the crowd and that woman touched him and he said, who's just touched me? And as I was playing, I thought, who's listening? I mean, there's a group of people behind me now because the Spirit draws people. But I knew there was someone being ministered to. And I played. As I was playing, the Holy Spirit said, now change key. So I changed key. He says, now change register. So I went right up. And I was being very specific about what I'm playing. So I realized there's something happening.
Yes.
As I finished and I got up and I was so curious to see who's behind me. And there was an older woman, probably in her 50s, with just tears streaming down her face. So besides the crowd that had formed there, there was this woman. And she just came to me. She said, what was that you played? Is it recorded? Is it on the CD? Where can I get it? And I said, that was a song that Father God sang to you today.
Wow.
He was ministering to you. So it's about having your skill and your ability available,
yes.
Whether it's on a platform in a church and you're ministering, or whether it's in a train station. And as an artist, to not exclude any of it. You know, you can be in a busy highway and a byway just as much as an evangelist can be, or
absolutely.
To have your just to be ready. just always to be ready. So for that reason, I've played in the most extraordinary situations and circumstances all over the world. If I see a piano, I'm ready, because I'm like, Lord, who do you want to reach, you know?
Yeah.
And if you think about Exodus, when God called the artists to create the tabernacle, those artists were in training. Hey, I mean, he called skilled people who knew how to melt the gold and do the things. And all of us artists are in training. I don't think you ever have made it. Hey,
right.
I'm sure there's projects that are lying ahead of you that you think, how am I going to accomplish that? I don't have the skills yet, but you're in training, and God can pick us up at any moment within that. Cause I don't want people to think only those who studied art are going to be used of the Lord. No, right. Everybody's in training. If you've got a heart to create, he's already got you in training, and get painting and get doing what you want to do, sculpting or whatever. And he's preparing you always. And I think, just being tuned into the Spirit. These days, I long to, when he gives me the motivation to create. I don't have much desire to create outside of what he's giving, what messages he's bringing. And the visuals are so strong at bypassing all the, so often people come to our experiences and just say, like, it was amazing to be ministered to without all the words. And, it's so refreshing because, the art is so crucial in connecting people's hearts. We often talk about getting through all the bars of iron and just going straight for the heart. And God's wanting to reveal the beauty of the bride to even to the lost world by going straight to the heart. And I think nothing does that quite like the arts. And when I speak about the arts, obviously it's poetry, it's all the different genres. And I think we all need to start collaborating to show the immense beauty of the bride. And I think the world will be bowled over when we're using our skills and been flowing in the power of the Spirit. And I'm sure I can see that's your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm thinking, you told the story about, sitting down at the piano and this download comes after this painting and all that. You guys have had 18 years of marriage and walking together and that sort of thing. And that expression and that process, I'm sure, has matured. I'm interested, because you guys are full time working in what you're doing. You're receiving your provision, through what you do. You mentioned, I love that. Haiti, the pulse of his provision. Talk about what your life looks like as artists now. Some artists are selling their work at shows or in galleries and that sort of thing. You guys are doing these experiences together. So what does that look like from a very practical standpoint, from the planning to how you're showing your work to even how you're receiving your provision as artists who are kind of working in this area?
Yeah. Well, soon after that, I did mention on the little question thing you asked about the book I've written. I've written a book called My Father's Voice, which journeys. And in chapter 8 of this book, I speak about, we call it the journey. And it speaks a lot about what I mentioned earlier, how we were stripped and all that. But what I wanted to highlight there is, I've just lost my thought there.
It was so good too. I could feel it.
By the way, here's the book. This is also one of my paintings, but it's been such a incredible ministry in this day and age. I mean, we all know the world is going through immense change, and to hear the Father's voice for every decision, to just know he's in every little detail. And in our ministry, we had a beautiful experience coming to America. We've only been to America once, and part of this preparation where God taught us just to listen to his voice, hear and obey, not even look at your bank balance, just do what he's telling you to do. I'd love you to pick up on our trip to America.
That's actually what I was wanting to share. That's what was on my heart. But I was hooking on that chapter 8 because I write there about experiencing and learning his pulse of provision. Yeah. So by the end of that journey, that hectic time where we really had almost nothing left, when that came to an end, it was a period of 9 months. And when that came to an end, we moved into my brother's place and it was ready furnished and a new season began. And we started a music school, we were incredibly successful, and it was a different season. But we never forgot that pulse.
Yeah.
Because in 2015, Father said again, now lay everything down. Now we're going full time. So after 8 years of having a very successful music school, here came the instruction again. Like you were saying now, you've also now been asked to. But the summit was easy.
Yeah.
Because we knew what it was like 8 years before.
Right.
And
right.
We knew he's faithful in his provision when he says that. So I see it as how Father's explained it to me is there's kingdom provision, which is always there. And then there's the earth. And because we live on earth and we're in this world, there's also earthly currency. And he works with both. So when in the time that we had the music school, yes, there was income from students and from fees. And we only ministered on weekends and in holidays. So there were paintings that sold. But now when you let go of all that and you truly allow his flow, it's one of the radical things he told us is you never charge, you never have a fee for when you minister.
Wow.
So when we are invited to do our experiences, we never charge. Because he said to me, if you want to put a monetary value on it, you can. But what if my value is much higher?
Mm.
Then you've limited me because you've put your value on it. And that's exactly what's happened. Now, there have been times where we've said to people, we're coming and we get very little. Then there have been times where we've been blessed out of our socks and we get 4, 5, 6 times what we were expecting.
Wow.
But it's his flow.
Yeah.
And he knows what our needs are. So that's just the personal instruction he's given us. So we don't charge for the ministry, but we do sell the artwork and we do sell prints, and we do sell the book and so on.
Yeah.
But when Father called us to come to America, there was a lady in Indiana, her name is Sarah Lou, who had a vision. An incredible vision that she found Guy on the internet and she emailed us and said she has seen a vision of these apostolic forerunners riding on these horses in a cleansing fire from South America all the way to north, all the way up into Canada, with these cataclysmic flames going from north to south, east to west, and these riders riding at different places. And she described this, and it was like a movie, and Guy had to now try and condense this into one image and paint it. But he managed to do it, and we said, okay, this is it. We've got it. She said, right. And I just began to pray. It's like, how do I get this painting to her? Do we mail it? Do we send it with our post, which isn't very reliable?
Right.
And there comes his answer. He says, you are going to deliver it to her in person. I'm like, wow. Right? We only had about $100, that's all we had if we had to do the equivalent in rand. So how do you do that? The painting paid for our airfare. And but what we had learned, this was 2018, what we had learned up to then is you don't count what's in the bank. You are obedient.
Yeah.
So all we needed was the airfare, which we had. Father said, gave us the time frame. He said, you will be there for 6 weeks. So I knew when to book to come back. We had one appointment in Atlanta, Georgia. A ball ground, small town called Ball Ground.
I know exactly where it is. I used to live very close to there.
There you go. So that was the only invitation in the 6 weeks. And we knew we had to go there. So what we did, we couldn't take paintings across, but the people who were there, we had prints made in the US and had them delivered there. What I was going to do for an instrument, I did not know.
But was it a church or who did you see there in Ball Ground?
It's a church, but it's old horse stables that have been converted. And one of the rooms was being rented out for Sunday meetings. But we didn't know any of this. We just went. So now we land first in Texas. Guy's sister lives in Texas. We're there for 5 days. She lives in Fort Worth. And we had enough money to fly to Atlanta. Now, all this time, the lady from Indiana is asking me, when are you arriving with the painting? How are you getting here? Plane? Must I train her? I can't answer her. I said, I don't know, but we will be with you on the Saturday.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Now, in the flesh, the anxiety is growing. Yeah, I mean, sure. You can't help it. You're human.
Yeah.
And I'm having to, and you know, in the nights I'm on online looking at car hire, I'm looking at train fares, and I know we don't have the money for any of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All I hear is this voice that just keeps saying, trust me, trust me. Okay. And then it's a choice, because I always say, and I say it a lot in the book, faith, fortunately, is not dependent on how you feel. Mm. It's about a choice that you make. So Father God doesn't mind about your feelings. It's about what you declare with your mouth. And I just kept saying, we just kept saying, Lord, we trust you. So we arrive at Ball Ground and we get fetched from the airport and we come to this place. Now we see it's these horse stables. And as we drive up into the driveway, there's a van. And on the van are all this, is all this writing. And I begin to read and Guy begins to read and we look at each other in absolute astonishment. And it says, an army of artists going out to missions to bring the word of God. Ministering to, I don't know what it, I mean, creating with the creator. This whole van covered in all of this. I said, where have we come to? So it turns out this lady has a ministry.
Her name is, her name is Patricia Reeves.
Oh, yes.
Patricia. It's Patricia.
Listen, you keep telling the story, then I'm going to tell the other part of this because you're going to be, you're going to be like, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. So go ahead. Keep going. Okay. Yeah.
So we see this van and we realize, all right, Father, you've set something up here because we have no idea. And she'd been away. So she didn't really know who we were. She didn't know. She knew we were coming, but she didn't know who we were. She thought we were just speakers at Casper's church. Casper was the man who was in this room.
This is crazy. Y'all, we have never talked about this. So this is like this the wildest thing that's happening right now. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
So we arrive there. Patricia has this keyboard that's got weighted keys. I can play on that. She had received all the prints. And so we ministered on the Sunday. And after the service, she's, you know, going, wow, what an incredible experience. And she said, but, you know, where are you going next? And I said, we're going to Indiana. She says, how are you going to get there? I said, I don't have a clue. And she says immediately, now, if you know Patricia, you know she would say this. Immediately she says, but you must take the van. And so that van became the outreach van for us during our time in America. So we drove all the way up to Indiana. We delivered that painting in person. We ministered in Indiana. We ministered again in Ball Ground and extensively with her at the school she was at and at the old age home. And from there, we went back to Texas. But I mean, God wanted to pull that one out. He wanted to show off and not want me to book a car and, you know, do a, you want to have that surprise up his sleeve and say, this is what happens when you trust God's database. He has a database that exceeds WhatsApp, that this exceeds Facebook. He has a database that he cannot imagine. So if you connect into that, then you don't have to worry so much about your social media, and whatever. He just runs, you know, you've just got to be tapped into that all that he uses it all. But you've got to be tapped into the power of that spirit. And he just makes these incredible connections. So now tell us your side of this.
Okay. You're not. So this is, and again, guys, this is, we have not planned this. This is like happening right now. So in 2009, I had lost my business. I had been through a significant healing time, all this kind of stuff. And I was applying for worship leader positions, but just like in this stuck place. And the Lord told me February 2009, he said, I want you to go home, lay on the floor and worship me. Your provision is going to come like popcorn. And the next day, God started opening up doors of provision. About a week or so into this time of prayer and fasting that I was doing for days, over about a 6 or 8 week period, I got woken up in the middle of the night, two mornings in a row, 3:09 in the morning, with the Jason Upton song, Lion of Judah, raise up an army like Joel saw. I go down to my studio at 3:09 in the morning and the Lord says, you're a father to artists. I opened up Joel 3:9 at 3:09 in the morning, says, go to the nations, raise up an army, gather the warriors and the weaklings. God says, you're a father to artists. I want you to go to the nations, raise up an army of artists. I'm like, big vision, all this. So that's how it all started. 2 weeks later, or maybe a little longer, I'm sitting in my house in Northwest Atlanta, and it's raining that day. And the Lord had told me, he said, your provision is going to come like the rain in due season. So don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. I'm sitting there on an early one Saturday morning. I open up a community newspaper, which I would rarely read. And I see an ad for a Christian art gallery, which I didn't even know there was such a thing. And the Lord says, I want you to go there and meet the lady that's running this. I'm like, okay. And he's like, now. I'm like, what do you mean now? So I go upstairs and tell my wife, we get our son. Here we go. We're driving up there. It's raining. We go in this little, in this gallery. And I was in Canton, Georgia, which is just right south of Ball Ground, downtown. We walk in and there's who I now know, Patricia Reeves, but she's in there. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to tell her? Like, why am I here? All this. And the Lord says, tell her why you're here. Tell her what I told you. I said, hey, I'm Matt. You know, God's called me to raise up an army of artists to reveal his glory in there. And she stopped like, what did you say? I said, God's called me to raise up an army of artists. She looked at me. She said, the Lord told me that I was going to be a part of raising up an army of an artist 14 years ago. And I've never heard anybody else say that. And it was like, oh, this connection point. Well, somebody came in and we had to get back together. So 2 weeks later, I went back to the gallery. We're sitting there. I'm telling her this whole story just like this. And she takes the keys to the gallery. And she said, during this, essentially, she says, over these last 2 weeks, we've been praying, the artists in the gallery, we all feel in faith to come and be a part of what you're doing. I want to give you this gallery.
Wow.
I said, what? She said, here. She handed me the keys. I literally walked out of the gallery with the keys to the play. I was like, what in the world? And then I couldn't get anybody on the phone. I was trying to call. I was like, oh, this is the craziest story ever. And the Lord just knit our hearts together, and we did work together for, you know, she is the reason. She is a major, major catalyst. I've had her on the podcast before, and of course, and all that. But she's a major catalyst in allowing me to be able to step into what we're doing. And it's just so amazing to hear that how the Lord used her in that as well. And guys, if you don't get anything out of this podcast today, realize the power of one person being obedient in one moment, the ripple effect, right? I mean, the ripple effect that can have. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It is. And we also are trusting that it wasn't the end of it. I mean, we haven't been able to return to America, but, you know, we knew that that was an eternal connection that was made.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
No, it's incredible. Because, guys,
No, go ahead and finish your thought. That's fine.
No, I mean, I wanted Guy just to share about, he just has such a wonderful revelation about when the artists were called every time with the temple, you know, the tabernacle and the temple, and what's the next, you know,
talking about collaborating, obviously, in essence, when God called those artists and the Spirit of the living God came upon the artists to create. So those who are listening in and they know they're being called to be artists, musicians, poets, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon the artists to create works worthy, to create works that would represent, that would carry his glory, that would lead people into his presence. And always the arts were together, and whenever the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, which we are today, the tabernacle of the living God, the musicians were in place, the artworks were in place, and as as they released their unity and then God filled the tabernacle with his presence. And that's what you called for, that's what we called for, and what is beautiful about what we do, and I feel it circumcedes our abilities, our art, our music, is that the presence of God comes in these meetings. And I think that's why so often people can't even put into words what we do, because, you know, they're not interested in art or not interested in music, but they encounter the living God, the glory of the Lord fills his body, and people walk out of there empowered. And I feel we are forerunners, and there's people out there that need to pick up and move in that flow of the Spirit. Bring in the glory of the Lord into the tabernacle.
So beautiful. And so beautiful.
And that he's connecting his artists all across the world and and that, you know, that this army that he's calling up now is once again has a responsibility of stewarding in this glory.
Yeah.
You know, it's our job. And that's why I believe so many artists are hijacked by the enemy. How many are chosen to dedicate their talents to the Lord end up hijacked by the enemy and serving the other side when they're supposed to be in this. So yes, absolutely. God is calling in a lot. He's doing a last minute call. Like, everybody come in, hands on deck, come in. You know, we got to usher in this glory. The artists and musicians have to be in place for this glory to come. And so he's making these connections that seem so incredible. I mean, for us to go all the way over there, connect with her in that way. And
so crazy.
You know, like you're saying, that God is just, and the new focus he's given us now for the next year is the children. And he's very, and we're busy with, we're calling it Kingdom School, for lack of a better word right now, but how he's asking us to find and raise up the youngsters now who need to be in this army, basically, and find them and begin to. So we're looking at creating a bit of an online thing, but we're also workshopping with children. We have a van, and our very own van now.
I know, right? I love it.
That is enough to bring the one over from America, but it actually looks very similar.
That is so great.
We got the idea from Patricia, and we take our van and we go, and we are also continuing to trust God to provide. And you know, going back to just that whole provision thing, that the question that you asked, is that at times many paintings will sell, and it's wonderful, and it will always be in the right time when there's need for a bit of equipment or more than just our monthly income. But Guy and I are not supported by any one organization. We have not been taken on or adopted by any one church or denomination. We serve everywhere, and as a result, God releases the funds from everywhere. And over the years, in the beginning, it was nail biting and toe curling year after year, probably for 3, 4, 5 years. But you do get to a point where you genuinely just sit in it, and you know him as the provider, and then an abundance begins to flow. So I mean, we even tried to get Guy's art into galleries in the beginning, but we found that the music and the art could not be separated. Father was unhappy with that. No, I'm created something here where the two go together. And there was no movement on it whatsoever. But the moment we minister, 3, 4, 5, 6 original artworks will sell in one experience, because people connect through the Holy Spirit, and the work speaks to them.
Right.
So you'll have people who are not interested in art, who don't collect art, who don't even look at art. They will make a connection because the Holy Spirit has ministered and spoken through that artwork.
Yeah.
And you find the most unusual people purchasing art. And
And I just think it emphasizes the point. We talk about it all the time, that the abundant provision that God has for you flows in line with your unique design and your assignment in the kingdom. And when you begin to flow in those things, you begin to connect with his abundant flow of provision. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to share your journey and all that God is doing in and through you. It's just an amazing journey I know it's good. I love telling the story of what God's done in my life. I'm sure you guys, every time you sit down and do an interview like this, is you may get off and you're like, wow, it's good just to tell the whole story again and just to be reminded of the goodness of God and how he's brought you through. And I know that people are going to want to connect with you online, see your work, grab your book, all the stuff. So where is the best place that they can connect with you? And we'll be sure to put those links in the show notes and in the description for the podcast.
Yes. Well, the best way is if they want to connect, is to just pop me an email, therevelationsinart@gmail.com. And awesome. We have a website. Yeah. We revelationsinart.co.za. The audiobook, I also recorded the book as an audiobook, so that's up. The digital version is available. The CDs are also available as digital versions. I've recorded 3 CDs. There's also a CD that goes with the book where I just expressed the heart of the Father, as the book is called, My Father's Voice. We don't have a lot of social media. Father has really limited us with that, and we keep saying, "With Lord, that's the way it's going." Everyone's on. Nope. and you got to just be obedient. I don't know why, but so we have a website and we have an email address, and that is pretty much it.
Wonderful.
But it's enough.
That's right. That's right. Well, Heidi, Guy, thank you so much for being on today. And guys, be sure to click the links that are right here on the YouTube channel, as well as the podcast, and go visit online and see all the things they're doing. So,
yeah, we have a YouTube channel also. Yes.
Wonderful. We'll put that on there as well. So,
can I pray for everybody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great way to end our time together. So please go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. So Father God, I thank you for divine connections. Yeah. And Lord, what a happy story this is, or to remind us of how you connect your kingdom children. And Lord, I'm just praying for every person who has listened to this or will be listening to this podcast. Father, I thank you that you inspire and encourage every heart once more. Where knees have maybe grown weak and the hands hanging by the side, that you will uplift once more. Father, I thank you that everyone who knows they have that creative flow in them, that you will once more ignite. And Lord, that nobody will be left behind or left out as the final call goes out for this army of artists to arise. Thank you, Father, that every person will respond by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the baskets of provision that are being released at this time for the artists that are willing to say yes. And Father says, as you say your yes, so the provision will come.
Yeah.
I pray against any fear, against any discouragement, and I silence the critical voice that so often wants to make the artist silent. Thank you, Father, for a flow in the arts like we've never seen before, that we will stand astounded at the beauty that you reveal through your children. Father, I thank you that you bless Matt today for his work, bless his ministry, bless this new chapter that they are in. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.